Tired of the same old sports analysis? Then you need the SMQBs podcast. They're five attorneys, they're sports fanatics, and they're ready to make their case. Welcome to Sports Talk with an Edge. From Dallas, Texas, Ryan Pope. Michael Rooster Phelan from Richmond, Virginia. Patrick Milk Meichler from Tampa. Toby House Milrod from Philadelphia. Chris Bison Nace from D.C.
It's a simple game, and this is the SMQB's Baseball Preview Extravaganza. Technically our 11th episode, but it's a special one. We are going to cover all things baseball today. It's going to be fun, and we are going to start off with excellent news for the Philadelphia Phillies, who I understand have signed Nick Foles to come in and take them to a championship.
Yes!
I swore that there was no way you could work that in here. I swore there's no way they were working Eagles quarterbacks into this.
But he did
it. Excellent.
So who's ready for baseball?
Let's go.
Yeah, baby.
I can't wait. So, you know, it's fun because, you know, the Nats are still the defending World Series champions after, you know, we did have a tournament last year that was fun, but we didn't really get all of baseball. And so, you know, this will be our championship. We're going for the repeat to win the World Series this year in Washington.
Wow. That's why you call it. That's why you called it a tournament.
Just a complete diss of the Dodgers.
Oh, amazing. Yeah. Well, I mean, come on, look, it was fun. I mean, and the Dodgers were a great team. They probably deserved to win the shortened season and tournament, but you know, it's a round robin. I mean, that's what it was. Clearly the opening day is one of the greatest days of the year. Baseball, you know, this is, I guess, you know, hope springs eternal, right? Everyone's 0-0 and everyone's got a chance, and it, you know, looks like we're going to, There's an aim to play a full 162 this year, although the breaking news is that at least one Nats player is positive for COVID. Four members of the team and staff have been in quarantine. So I don't know. Maybe we won't play 162 this year, but we'll find out.
It's all an April Fool's joke. Maybe there's really not a season starting tomorrow. They're just going to say, actually, we're just doing a 60 gamer.
Yeah.
Don't
not
say
the
that.
Worst thing
Don't
in the world.
That. Don't say that. Well, look,
60 games too long.
So, you know, here at the SMQBs, we don't like to do what everybody does. We're not going to do a big preview of team by team and who's going to win this division. And,
thank God.
And yeah, I mean, look, there's enough of that. We've listened to hundreds of podcasts.
So I don't have to analyze the Rangers. Is that what you're saying?
Well, you might have to.
Are they playing this year?
What we're going to really. Do is we're going
to just had to throw away 20 pages in notes, but otherwise he's good.
Yeah. Yeah. Pope just threw away his binder. We're going to go
binders full of Rangers,
a little round the horn of the SMQBs. We're going to find out who everybody thinks is going to be the best player, or at least a player they want to watch this year. We can argue over why you're putting them on your list, but let's just get right to it. Let's start with first base. House, you of the Philly fanatic. Let's hear it. Who's your first baseman?
This was the toughest for me on the whole diamond on my starting nine. There is stocked with talent with Abreu and Alonso, but I'm gonna go with the reigning MVP of the National League, Freddie Freeman. It was only a matter of time till he got an MVP. He's a stud, and I think he deserves to be in the starting nine of the SMQB first base position. I'm going with Freddie Freeman.
Milk, what do you got?
I can't go against a guy who went to my high school and played for the Florida Gators. Pete Alonso, 53 home runs in 2019. Bad year last year, but didn't count. It's coming back. I love it. I'm in. Go Mets.
Ugh, gross.
They're going to make a run this year. Keep an eye on them.
Yeah, he says he's deserving to be paid $400 million contract. He's going to be the first $400 million man. That's what Pete says.
Pete Alonso said that?
Yeah, Pete Alonso said that.
Well,
yeah,
I think you might see the first $400 million man out of the Mets, but it's not going to be Pete Alonso.
Right.
And it might happen before this podcast is actually over. So, Pope, who do you have at first?
I know it's going to be a shock to you, but I'm going to go with Freddie Freeman of my Atlanta Braves.
Oh,
not the Texas Rangers. Did everyone hear that?
What's that? What's that in the background?
Well, in the background,
that's Homer Simpson, because that's a Homer pick. I mean, first of all, I guess it's a Homer pick, right? Because the Braves Rangers thing, I mean, whatever, but come on, man, you could do better than that. What do you got?
I mean, from a stats standpoint, first of all, he's reigning MVP. Second of all, his OPS is 1.102. So that is superior right there. I mean, you really gonna argue with that? 51 runs scored last year, 23 doubles. He's a hitting machine. And, you know, I challenge you. I trust House on this one. I'm going Freddie.
Yeah, Pope.
Rooster, I'm getting it ready here.
All right. First of all, I just want to say welcome to the march to number 28 for the Yankees. I have not been this excited for opening day since I was a kid. And I have down on my sheet Jose Abreu, last year's AL MVP, batted .317, .617 slugging percentage. But then I looked up his defense, and he's not very good. He led the league in errors for first baseman. So I'm going to have to go with the guy who led the league in home runs and tied for the highest batting average at .364, Luke Voit.
Oh, my God.
Are you serious? Luke Voit.
Is every one of your picks
home run champion, bro?
Oh, God.
Oh. We'll see him at 4th of July.
So how many guys on the Yankees are going to hit 40 home runs this year?
How many are there going
to? I'd say at least three, but probably four.
They got to play at least 100 and something games. They got to stay off the injured.
Yeah, their biggest problem is health.
Well, who are the three that you have recently?
All right, Luke Voit, Judge, Stanton, and Sanchez is back, man. He's hitting the hell out of the ball.
I'm going to throw a name out there that might surprise you, but Clint Frazier.
Clint Frazier's the man. He'd be batting third on the Orioles. He's batting ninth on the Yankees.
That might be your third 40 home run guy this year.
Yep.
Depending.
Stop. Enough.
And we have a guy named Jason Dominguez who could come up right now and start for most teams.
Well, those are really good picks, I think, guys. I'm going to throw out a different name, and not necessarily because I disagree with some of the folks you all picked, but just to make something different. I'm really curious to see what Paul Goldschmidt's going to do this year with Arenado in the lineup with him. That's you know, the Central's probably the weakest division in all of baseball, I think. And I'm just curious. I mean, God, you know, this is an exciting season to go into. There are some really great players all around the diamond, but I want to see what Goldschmidt's going to do. And I think that could be fun this year.
I like that. So, I like that pick.
All right, let's go. Second base. Let's go with Pope. What do you got? Who do you have at second?
And this is painful with Rooster looking at me on my screen, but I got to go with DJ LeMahieu. Hard to argue with his .364 batting average last year, 1.01 OPS. I don't know. Find me somebody better.
La Machine.
Rooster, what do you think?
Yeah, I didn't want to hear that.
I agree. I mean, he's the only person in modern history who's won the batting title in both leagues. DJ LeMahieu, he's my man.
So you're two for two for Yankees at this
correctamundo.
Point. Correctamundo. Okay. Someone keep track of this.
It's not hard.
Yeah. Milk? Second base.
I'll tell you who it's not. Altuve. Get the homer thing out. I'm going to tell you right now, this guy is completely undervalued.
Oh, boy.
You probably don't even know who he is.
Oh, my God.
I'm going with a Tampa Bay.
You're not
Bay
going
Ray.
With Brandon Lowe.
Oh, Lau. Come on. Get it right.
No, the point is low.
Hey, this guy consistently hits over 300. He's got a ton of power. He didn't have the greatest postseason last year, but again, that doesn't count. But he's going to get double digit, high into the 20s home runs. I mean, he's completely undervalued, really good second baseman. I think he's going to have a comeback year after that. He's pissed off after his postseason performance.
Isn't he the guy your wife has a crush on?
No, that's Seager.
Oh,
okay.
We'll get to him later.
I thought it was me, but
House.
She thinks he's cute.
Second base.
You know, I got as far as the city of New York and then got kind of stuck between Jeff McNeil on the Mets and DJ. I'll say this. I think DJ is actually one of the better values in baseball. They signed him to 6 years, $90 million, and all the guy does is hit 330. And solid defensive player. He hits for some power. His OPS, like Pope said, is, you know, I got to go. I hate to do this because the Yankees are the Death Star, but you'll notice from my picks today that I'm going to be very objective. And wow. So objectively speaking, I'm going with DJ.
Wow. Wow.
Those are good picks all the way around. But we're going to have fans in the stands this year, right?
Who's we?
Oh.
Well, there's going to be some fans. I mean, some teams are going to have more than others, and some are allowed to have more than others and still won't. But there's going to be people cheering and jeering, right?
Yeah, baby.
Yeah. So I'm taking at second base, the guy that I want to watch this year is one Jose Altuve, because I want to watch that short motherfucker. I want to see him get beamed every series once. I want to see him strike out more than he did in his entire career. I want to see him floating the ball over the first baseman's head. I want that guy to experience every bit of pain and humiliation that he got away with last year, not having to play in front of fans. So Altuve is my second baseman because I want to see that cheating MF-er fail 162 games this season.
Hope, how do you pronounce the guy you guys just released? Odor, is it Ruffned?
Rugdead. Odor.
Odor Rootdead. Isn't he the guy who punched Joey Batts in the face? So what I would like to see is every team pick him up the day before they play the Astros, put him in at second base and let him punch Altuve if he makes it to second.
Yeah,
that'd be unique.
That's why Altuve is my guy at second base.
He's so hateable.
The Rangers gave him a boatload of money, and he never performed. So didn't even make the roster. What an embarrassment.
Yeah.
That was like the forearm shiver from hell, wasn't it? Isn't that what he hit that guy with?
I think he gave him a quick right cross right to the jaw.
I want to talk about shortstop a little more in a minute, but so let's jump over shortstop and Milk. I want to hear who you got at third base.
Oh, this one's painful. I think I'm following your lead on this one. I'm going with Bregman.
Oh, another cheating motherfucker.
Whoa. You know, he does bother me. Not as much as Altuve. But he's actually pretty good, and I wanted him to fail so bad last year, but he had a pretty good season in the shortened season. I think he's hate to say it, he's a really good third baseman, and I couldn't think of anybody else, really, other than maybe the guy on the Angels.
Well, I'm gonna take it from there, Milk, because that's who I got, Rendon. Anthony Rendon is one of the most underappreciated players in baseball.
Former Nat.
He is a former Nat, and you know, he almost, I can't say single-handedly, but But boy, was he huge in the playoffs in 19 for the Nats and in the World Series. I mean, somebody said it the other night when we were watching basketball about ice water running through someone's veins. When you talk about ice water in their veins, Rendon has got it. His heart rate, like they say his heart rate doesn't get above 45 or something, even when he's standing in the box. I mean, it's outrageous. This guy with Trout in that lineup and maybe who knows what we'll see from Ohtani this year. You know, Rendon could have a huge year, and he's just such a cool customer. I'd watch him hit any day. And then his defense is outstanding too.
Yeah, House, it's a good pick.
What do you got, House?
So again, I mean, that's a good pick. And I got to say, I'm pretty excited to see what Arenado does with the Cardinals. I think he puts them definitely into the playoffs, but just for pure who I want to watch and who I think really remains at the top of the third baseman. He finished in the top three in the MVP award race last year. My pick for the most exciting team in baseball, the San Diego Padres. Manny Machado is my pick at third base. I love watching him play. I think he's fully come into form with the Padres, and he's going to be at the top of the board of third baseman this year.
Pick.
Yeah, that's a great pick. And talk about a guy who you know, one minute was a superstar going to the Padres and then got overshadowed because of Tatis and everything that he did last year. So that's really a great pick. Rooster?
I agree with House. I got Machado. He not only is a great hitter, but he led the league in fielding percentage for third baseman last year. I think this is the year of the Padres. I'm really excited to see the Padres play. And I think this is going to be a breakout year for Machado. I really considered Arenado. Is that how you pronounce it? For the Cards.
Yep.
Yeah. And Jose Ramirez for the Indians and Rendon. But I just see Machado as being a head and shoulders above them this year.
Pope, tell someone we don't know.
No, it's going to be Rendon. I mean, he was a horse in 2019. 1.01 OPS. You guys like me using that OPS?
Yeah. Know what that means.
Not really.
You looked that up the before we went on. He just looked that up.
Is that this week's chalk?
On base, on base plus slugging. It's probably the most looked at offensive stat right now in baseball. And Rendon 1.010, which is one of the highest in 2019. 34 home runs, 126 RBIs. If he replicates that with the Angels, then I think we're looking at our number one third baseman.
Can't argue with it. I do want to say though. Don't sleep on
Gio Urshela.
No, well, I was going to say Matt Chapman in Oakland. I mean, Chapman could be an MVP maybe this year, but in the
future. He's hurt, right?
Is he hurt? Is he going into the season hurt?
He's got some issues, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. He has a hip injury.
Yeah.
Well, keep an eye on
but
him.
But I agree. He's pretty solid.
All right, let's go. We got everybody on third base, right? Everyone got a chance there?
Yeah.
Let's go. So shortstop. You know, it's funny because I'm getting old. And, you know, Rooster, I don't know how that makes you feel, but
I feel pretty good, man.
Compared to who, man?
Yeah. But I was reading in Sports Illustrated that this is the golden age of shortstops. And I feel like I've already been through a golden age of shortstops in my lifetime. So
probably defensively. But do you think offensively you've been through a golden age? I think defensively we've lived through a golden age.
I don't know. I mean, when you had A-Rod and Nomar Garciaparra and
Jeter.
And I mean, those guys all came up together.
Yeah.
And we talked about, you know, those guys being, that was the golden age of shortstops. Now, wow. I mean, these guys can play. Rooster, who do you have at short?
For the same reason I picked Machado, I'm picking Fernando Tatis. He's a five-tool guy, but he is the most exciting young star in baseball. And I think he's up to the moment. I really do believe this is the Padres' year. He just signed a 14-year contract with the Padres for $340 million. And the Padres were sold in 1994 for about a quarter of that amount. It's just, and he's probably worth it. He's
and it's a bargain. Yeah, it's a bargain.
He's really awesome.
Like a Pujols contract.
He's awesome. I can't wait to watch him play. The other guy I really can't wait to watch play is the guy you mentioned earlier, Bison, Ohtani. If he can pull off pitching and being a everyday batter, that would just be so much fun to see.
Yeah.
$1 billion infield.
I love Tatis. I'm sure, I suspect someone else on here is going to have him, but just to be clear, he's the second most exciting young player in baseball.
Oh, here we go.
Pope, who's your shortstop?
Well, seeing how Fernando Tatis Sr. was a Texas Ranger, didn't have a memorable career. His spawn, Fernando Tatis Jr., obviously is one of the more exciting baseball players. And for all the reasons that Rooster picked, I won't go over them. But, I mean, with the five tools that he's got, and he's probably the face of Major League Baseball for the next 5 or 6 years. So I'm going with Tatis. Really hard to argue with him. Trevor Story is a great, you know, up-and-comer out of the Rockies, but it's Tatis.
House?
I hope we can make this unanimous. I got to tell you, we had a conversation on another SMQBs about how we feel about showing up and bat flips and back flips. I'll tell you what, I love the way Tatis flips that bat and his excitement that he brings to the game. I think he's so great for the game of baseball. And I think that left side of the infield with Tatis and Machado is as good as it gets. Tatis is my pick as well.
Milk.
Obviously, it's Tatis, and no one mentioned his hair. I'll go with that.
Yeah.
someone to keep an eye on, though. I'd just like to mention him. He's kind of an up-and-comer. You know, I like undervalued teams, right? Up-and-comers, being a Rays fan.
Keep an eye on roll.
Keep an eye on Bo Bichette in Toronto.
Yeah.
Really like this kid.
Yeah.
He's very young. He's only been in the league 2 years, I think.
Dante's kid, right?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Good. Well,
solid.
I got to tell you, I love the Tatis pick. It's not going to be unanimous here.
Oh, come on.
And just because, again, there's too much talent in shortstop for every one of us to go with Tatis. I mean, look, Bo Bichette is on my short list too. And by the way, talk about an up-and-coming team. Don't be stunned.
Love Toronto.
If Toronto wins that division.
Absolutely. Don't be stunned.
Right there.
If
they get some pitching, they'd be awesome.
And as undervalued as I think Trey Turner is, I'm not going to put him on my list. I'm going, and it breaks my heart to do this. I hate picking a Met. But Francisco Lindor, I just think this guy he's in New York now. His star is going to shine bright. You talk about the bat flips and everything. I mean, Lindor is on a mission to stop people from worrying about statistics and shifts and you know, pulling pitchers after 76 pitches in the World Series and that sort of thing. I just like what he's kind of all about. And it kills me that he's playing for the Mets, but that's who I want to watch play this season.
That is an outstanding pick, I have to admit.
So, all right, we're going to take a quick break. I'm going around the horn. We got to do outfield, pitchers, but first, this is your random, somebody's going to be on the clock. Pope, I'm calling you out just because you have feared the random team generator like no one else. And this is how this works. I've got a computer generator here. It's going to pull up a team and I want you to tell us something interesting. And if you don't have something, then you can phone a friend and it could be anybody except me. No,
all right.
It could be anybody.
A lifeline.
Yeah. All right. So the team that came up is who we were just talking about, the New York Mets. Tell us something to watch for with the Mets.
Well, I mean, we're about to go to pitching, but DeGrom obviously is going to be a stud this year. I've got him as my potential Cy Young winner. You just mentioned Lindor. The Mets are they're going to and we're not going into predictions yet, but I'm going to hold off. But they're going to be a horse in the East to deal with. And, you know, I think it's a good time to be a Mets fan, to be honest. I think they have a lot of potential. Not there with the Yankees yet, but I could see the Mets definitely breaking through in the next couple of years.
And watch, keep an eye on DeGrom. DeGrom might be the first pitcher to average 100 miles an hour on his fastball throughout the season. Think about that.
He averaged 98. He averaged 98 last year.
Yeah.
Same.
Brings the heat.
All right, let's go to where should we go? How about let's start off at left field.
We missed catcher.
No, we'll do that.
All right.
That's Bison's position. It's very special to him.
Yeah,
it's so very. We'll let him lead that one.
That's the key to the entire season.
I thought maybe you were going to skip it just so no one had to mention a Philly.
Oh boy! Now let's go to left field. Who do we have? Who wants to lead us off? Pope, why don't you lead us off? You got stuck with the generator there.
Yeah, and I, you know, I guess the thing about the outfield is we are by the nature of this, we're forced to pick a left fielder, center fielder, right fielder, because I'm not sure that the top three would be the same if you just had outfielder and fielder in general. But I mean, left field is. That's a tough one. You got Yelich, Soto, and Acuna. But, you know, I have a bat here for a reason, because Ronald Acuna Jr. is one of the rising stars in the major leagues. I think this is his year. He's a five-tool player, just like Rooster was talking about. You know, hits for power. He runs. He can throw. He is the generator that keeps the Braves going. In my opinion, Acuna is your left fielder.
Rooster.
Cheers, Ronald.
I think part of our debate during all of this is going to be which corner of the outfield are they actually playing in? Because I've got Acuna in the right field as a Soto. So
yeah, Soto's in right for sure.
I looked him up on MLB and they have him as left. So
Soto's
They've got Soto in left field this year too on MLB.
Soto's definitely playing right. I'm pretty sure about that. But
that's the problem with having to force your three picks.
Right.
Yeah.
I went by MLB.
Right field is an impossible decision this year.
So who do we have Rooster in left, though?
Well, now that you took Soto away from me.
I didn't take him away from
you. No. Bison did. You can put him there.
Put him wherever you want.
I would put
Soto in left if I could. I think he is the Ted Williams of our generation. He is the best hitting outfielder in baseball. I would say don't forget about Christian Yelich. The guy won the batting title 2018 and 2019 and had a bad year last year. He'd be a good choice. I'd be tempted to take Milk's man, Arroz con Pollo, but it's not enough sample size there. I think he's rookie of the year, but not enough sample size yet.
Give it time.
So I'd take Yelich if I had to stick with left field. I wanted to put Soto there.
Well, that seems like a good place to stop the podcast, with Soto being Ted Williams of our time. So thanks for joining us.
Thanks for coming, everyone.
Their stats are comparable up to the age of 22. I think that's Rooster.
Ted Williams of our time.
Wow. Rooster, your pick just so we're is Soto, right?
Correct.
Even though he's playing right. Okay.
Milk, who do you have?
Well, I'm going to go off of Brian Pope's stat of OPS. And
very nice
with a 1.1 in 2019, Christian Yelich, but he also had a 342 ISO. We're talking about ISO too, right?
Of course that's we are.
Of course.
Yes, why wouldn't we?
that's also important. No, I think he's solid. I mean, if we're going to pass 2020, you know, he batted 330 in 2019. Led the National League. He led the majors in RBIs, I think. 44 home runs. He's great baseball player. And with Soto out of the mix because he's no longer a left fielder, I'm going with him.
House?
Yeah, I agree with Milk, because the thing with Christian Yelich is, you know, he's gone from the Marlins to the Brewers. He's the type of guy that the market that he's played in, he's not gotten the kind of attention for the kind of baseball player he is. I mean, Milk gave his OPS for last year, but, you know, the guy over 3 years averages 1.005 over three seasons. If he were in a bigger market, he'd be a superstar. I think he's one of the better players in baseball. And even if Soto were there, I'm not sure that I would pick Yelich, but it would still be a very, very close call. With Soto in right field, I'm going to say that in left field, Yelich is my guy.
Yeah. And as much as I want to switch this up a little bit and talk about some different players out here. I remember when Stanton was on the Marlins with Yelich, and we'd watch as a Nats fan, you'd watch Stanton, you get through Stanton and you think, whew, we got by that. And then Yelich killed us all the time. So, I mean, I just remember with him as a Marlin, how good he was. I can't look away from him. He's definitely in left field for me. He's just too good. It's scary. All right, let's go to center. Center field. I'll tell you what, I'll lead off here. Another sort of position where there's really a clear person who I would just personally love to see play all the time and would make a special trip to see. That's obviously Mike Trout. But the guy that I want to see play this year, because he's on the verge every year of having a breakout year, and he doesn't quite get there, but his defense is so unbelievable, is Byron Buxton. I want to see the guy put together a full season and see what he can really do. So that's kind of who I want to watch. I'll be looking for House. What about you? Center field.
Yeah, I feel lucky that we're playing in the age of Mike Trout. Yeah. I think when all the record books are done, he's going to hold a whole hell of a lot of those records. I as a Phillies fan, I get to mostly see National League Baseball. I wish I could see a lot more of Mike Trout. There was a rumor at one time that we were going to get him because he's from this area and he's a big Philly sports fan. But I think Mike Trout is probably, the consensus best player in baseball. So he's my center fielder.
Who do we have? Pope?
Trout. I mean, you guys know I like chalk, and they're in the more chalky guy in the majors than Mike Trout.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's earned it. I mean, there's no doubt about that. Rooster?
Mike fucking Trout, baby.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
He's 29 years old, and he's an 8-time All-Star and 3-time MVP. What can you say?
Milk.
Trout.
Yeah.
Interested to see, by the way, totally. I'm interested to see Springer in Toronto.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, that Toronto team.
They're going to be good.
They are going to be good.
Yeah. They could be really good. All right. Let's go to right field. Milk, why don't we stick with you? What do you got in right field?
Gosh. This one is painful. My children have an unhealthy obsession with Aaron Judge. And so it's become very sickening and very nauseating to me as a Rays fan. And we went to a spring training game last week, and I told them that would be the only one they would go to. And my son did ask me if it was okay if he could root for the Yankees for 2 hours. Oof. So I did allow that.
You let him? Wait a minute.
I said it was okay just for 2 hours, just for this game, and then never again. And
Milk, you give them an inch, they take a mile. No, come on, man.
Don't think I didn't go home and cry in the shower sucking my thumb.
It's over. Yeah. It's over. He wants you to say all rise when he walks into the room.
This is such a mistake.
I'm gonna go with Aaron Judge, even though Mookie Betts is probably the pick.
Yes. All right, hold on. I want to go to Toby House, you're next, but let me get the Homer ready here.
Okay. So, right field is pretty stacked. There's a pretty good home run hitter in Aaron Judge. He gets hurt a lot. And Soto's a nice player. He's a really nice player. I don't know what to say. Mookie Betts has got some really nice glove. We are privileged in Philadelphia to have the greatest right fielder in baseball. In 215 games, he's already knocked 50 dingers, and he's just under 1,000 OPS. He's a great guy. He's a great player. I remember how much noise people made over his contract, and now it's probably, I don't know, third or fourth biggest. There's so many bigger contracts than him. He's been worth every penny so far, and when he gets us a World Series in the next couple of years, he'll be worth even more. Bryce Harper is your starting right fielder on the SMQBs.
Shocking news.
Bryce Harper is a lot of fun, and he will never get you a World Series.
Listen,
he leaves Washington and it's like, now we can win the World Series. I mean, you will not get a World Series with him. He's fun. He's electric. I've said it on this pod before. I cannot harbor hate or resentment towards him because he's fun, but you will not get a World Series with Bryce Harper.
Well, we'll have a wager at some point.
He'll be traded and he'll win one somewhere else. Rooster, did we get your right fielder?
No. I tell you, I so wanted to pick Aaron Judge. He's also great in the field besides being a bomber. But until he has one solid year of good health, I can't pick him as my number one guy. So I struggle between Mookie and Soto, if you're telling me Soto's definitely in right field. I settled on Mookie. I looked at the last two full seasons, and when he played for the Red Sox in 2018, he was the MVP, the Silver Slugger, won a Gold Glove, won the batting title, won the World Series, and then last year he finished second in the MVP voting to Freeman. He's got something like, I don't know, what does he have? He's got 5 Gold Gloves and 4 Silver Sluggers. And he hit the game-clinching home run in the World Series last year.
He was the difference maker to that team.
His defense in the Braves series was
broke Milk's heart
off the chain.
He was amazing.
He's amazing. He is an amazing player, and he's a little guy.
Oh yeah, Mookie Betts is the best player in baseball.
Wow,
I'll say it right there.
Whoa. Wow.
The most important player on his team in baseball.
Yeah. Well, look what happened to the Red Sox when he left.
Yeah. But I'm still putting Juan Soto in right field because Juan Soto.
Home by yourself.
You're right. I will. I'll take it on this one. Juan Soto is, and we've talked about him a little bit already. If he stays on the track that he's on, and he's such a young player and he really does have, not that many at bats to be comparing them to Ted Williams already, but people who watch hitters closer than I do, they all say the same thing. He could be the greatest hitter that the people on this pod ever watch play. If he stays on track the way people, predict.
And he's fun.
But we can't leave right field without at least noting Carl Yastrzemski's grandson.
Yep.
Is playing in San Francisco. So keep an eye on Mike. Yes. Oh, wow. Something worth noting. There's a lot of like second gen players who are coming through.
It's true. Right.
So
we need Pope's pick in right field.
Pope, I mean, so if I pick my top three fielders, I would have done Soto, Acuna, and Trout. So I guess if you're putting Soto in right, then he's going to take the nod over Mookie Betts. I had Betts down before I knew Soto was over there. That's a coin toss. I mean, Mookie definitely is probably the most valuable player the last couple of years. But if I had to bet my mortgage, it would be on Soto going forward.
Can't go wrong with either one of those guys.
All right, we're going to go back into the in the infield and talk about pitchers. But first, House, your random team generated team that you got to say something smart about.
Oof. I gotta say I'm nervous.
I think I might have just said the only smart thing. The San Francisco Giants. Oh. What do you have on the Giants?
You're welcome to pass.
Well, yeah. Can I pass to one of them?
Yeah.
I mean,
I got a good one.
We got somebody other than Mike Yastrzemski? Because right now, all I can say is Mike Yastrzemski. I don't even know if I can't even name a pitcher that I would say I want to see them throw from the Giants. So, I mean, if we're talking about what's going to be the story about the Giants, it's going to be the continued development of Yastrzemski, but who else? Who else you got there?
Well, I got a fun story on the Giants. Okay. How about this one from, I think this is from CBS Sports where I picked this up. This will be the 14th different opening day left fielder for the Giants in 14 seasons.
Wow.
The last left fielder they had that started opening day 2 years in a row, Barry Bonds.
Wow.
So there's your random Giants fact.
They've got Evan Longoria.
No, that's right. They do.
He's still Buster playing. Posey,
Buster Posey's still alive. I know.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Starter?
I mean, I don't know. They won what? Three World Series in like 6 years back in the early 2010s.
Yeah.
Dominant, you know, teams beat the Rangers in 2010. And now they've just fallen off the cliff.
I think we've got Darren Ruff, R-U-F, starting.
By the way, Darren Ruff was a masher that the Phillies brought up too late. And he came up at like, I don't know, age 25, 26, and platooned between first base and left field and hit a lot of dingers. And then once Rhys Hoskins developed, they let go of Ruff. I didn't even know that's where he is now. Is in San Francisco. Interesting. Kevin Gausman is going to be their opening day starter. Good luck, Giants.
Good luck.
Good luck with all that.
Good luck, Sanguinettis. There's your call. Your shout out to the Sanguinettis. Right. All right, let's do starting pitching. Pope, you want to lead us into starting pitching? So what are we doing?
So let's pick our four
starters. Yeah. Okay. Let's do four. We'll go around the horn pretty fast here on these, and then we can talk about them.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, if I'm not going through each one, I think a lot of these are kind of obvious. I got DeGrom, I got Garrett Cole, I got Shane Beebs, and I got Trevor Bauer. And, you know, I'm going to beat you every time with that four pitch right there.
Oof. Okay. All right. Milk.
I got the same guys, except I refuse to have Trevor Bauer on any team that I'm involved in because I can't stand him. So I switched out Kershaw because I want a little veteran in there.
Hello, back.
No. He's going to be just fine. Mm.
Rooster, you're four.
I've got the one and only Garrett Cole, Yankees fan as a child, DeGrom, Bieber, and I, again, with my theme of this is the year of the Padres, Yu Darvish.
Mm. Ooh, okay. Former Ranger.
Well, I think he pulled it all together with the Cubs and was like second in Cy Young voting.
Was he 40 now?
He's pitching well.
House?
And if you hate the Astros, you have to root for Darvish.
You need some older guys on your team.
So, DeGrom and Cole and Bieber are definitely my starting three. And look, I mean, if I go with a five-man rotation, if I go with a five-man rotation, Scherzer makes it. But the stats bear it out. Aaron Nola strikes out one of every three batters he faces. There's a lot of consensus that top four pitchers include Aaron Nola. Aaron Nola's my fourth starter.
All right. I gotta hit myself up here with this.
Scherzer.
I got, look, DeGrom, we already talked about. You can't leave him off the list. And Bauer, just to piss off Milk, I'm putting him on the team. And just because he's entertaining. But I'm taking Scherzer and Strasburg.
What?
Double.
Let's not forget the last time we had a real World Series, Strasburg went through those playoffs and I think he was 5-0. The first time anyone was 5-0 in the playoffs, he was MVP of the World Series. So you know what? I want to dive into the pitching a little bit more, but you know, this is a side story we should at least mention. I'm really curious to see what the short season means for these pitchers, right?
I mean, from 60 to 162?
It could go two ways, right? I mean, they could be so out of sync and out of whack that you see a bunch of injuries, that nobody can find the strike zone, that they're just all screwed up because these pitchers are such crazy creatures of habit, right? I mean, that, you know, you talk about guys who put their socks on the same way and don't wash their underwear before their starts. I mean, those are pitchers, especially lefties. Fucking craziest people on the planet. But the other way it could go is a lot of guys who are a little long in the tooth and who have injury problems, like a Scherzer and a Strasburg, they just got almost a year off. I mean, Stras did get a year off. Scherzer, you know, there's a lot of wear and tear that they didn't have. And for an older pitcher, I think the thinking is the older pitchers can withstand that kind of layoff better because they have so many innings under their belt. They have so much muscle memory on throwing the ball that they actually tend to do better with longer layoffs than younger guys. It's harder for a younger guy to bounce back and not have injuries. So that's a little side story this year that I think is going to be really interesting is what happens with all these pitchers.
Bison, hey, Rooster.
Oh, hold on. Bison, you picked DeGrom, Bauer, Scherzer, Strasburg, and who's your fourth? I mean,
your
fifth.
We're only doing four.
Okay.
Yeah.
But Rooster, here's my question for you. Since you've been waiting for this opening day for the first time since you were a little kid, when is the last time a Yankees pitcher won the Cy Young? And who was it?
2019, Gerrit Cole.
I don't think he won the Cy Young.
He didn't win it.
He did not win it.
Yes, I think he
did. In 19, did he?
Yeah.
I don't think he did. Because Yankees.
He came in second.
He was on the Astros in 19
behind Verlander. Yeah.
Last time a Yankees pitcher won the Cy Young was 20 years ago, 2001, with Roger Clemens.
Whoa. No kidding.
And I think Cole could do it. I think Cole could do it in the AL.
So Sabathia never won.
He's my Cy Young pick.
Well, and you know, nobody picked a guy who really is a Cy Young candidate,
Lucas Giolito.
Well, somebody's going to get that. We'll get to Giolito, but Walker Buehler.
Yeah,
Buehler.
Nobody put Buehler on their team, which is interesting. By the way, we got to talk about Sixto. Right. Is anybody excited to see this guy? I mean, look, the Marlins in general, I mean, the Marlins don't have the lineup to help their pitching, I don't think. And even the pitching's a little bit young still, pretty green. But boy, they've got some arms that'll be fun to watch.
Yep.
There's one of my award winners later on today.
All right.
Derek Jeter's got them a year or two away, I think.
What else we got on pitching? Anything else to think about? We're going to do
Are we doing a reliever?
We got to do a closer.
Closer? Okay.
Yeah. All right. I'll lead off on the closer. I think this is probably one of the weakest things to watch for in the majors this year. The closers are sort of,
A handful of picks.
You do. I mean, I've seen Brad Hand for the Nats put up there. I that does not excite me. And so that's the opposite of a homer. That's not exciting to me. I think you kind of have to go with Josh Hader still. I mean, he still seems like Mr. Invincible when he walks out on the mound. There's one other guy who I'm sure Rooster's going to bring up, but I don't know. This is the least interesting to me. Rooster, what do you think?
Well, when you throw 105 miles an hour, you probably should get brought up. But I'm not going to pick Aroldis Chapman.
I hope not.
I'm going with Slida. Liam Hendricks for the White Sox.
All right.
Last year's 2019 ERA of 1.8, 2020 ERA of 1.78.
Pope.
Right there with Rooster.
Okay.
A's last year, strong. This year, going to definitely help the White Sox. 40% strikeout rate, 14 saves in a short season. He had 25 saves the year before. You know, you're right, though. It's not like there's a Mariano Rivera out there. It's a fairly weak position. And, you know, I mean, we could have a broader conversation about relief pitching, but it's so different now when you have specialists who are the seventh inning specialists, the eighth inning specialist, and the closer is interchangeable depending on how well he's doing. So it's just not real exciting anymore. You don't have the closer come out through the bullpen with the Wild Thing music blaring and, you know, hitters fearing what's coming.
Milk, what about you? By the way, Milk, I saw that you're raised. There's predictions that they're going to average under four innings for their starters this year.
Oh, do you know we've done that? Like,
so I expect big things out of your reliever selection here because this team lives by the bullpen.
It's funny you should say that because my pick is a Ray. It would be Nick Anderson.
Nick Anderson.
I love that guy.
Is he hurt, Milk?
He is hurt. So,
right.
That's okay. It's going to be a problem. And he's not expected back for, you know, it could be pretty serious. But when that guy is on, he didn't have the best postseason either. But the year before, he was like a 0.55 ERA. He's really good. He's a really good reliever. He's top five.
You can't wear the number 70 in baseball. You just can't do that.
House, I think it's your pick, but I mean, do you even get a pick? The Phillies had like a 7.0 ERA into the bullpen last year. I'm not sure. Should you get a pick here?
We have a historically bad bullpen, and Jason Stark's written a great article about if even they were half or a third of as bad, we would have been a playoff team last year. That's how bad our bullpen was. We were really good through seven innings. We lost so many games to our bullpen. But I want you guys to watch the reigning NL Rookie of the Year from the Milwaukee Brewers, Devin Williams. This guy is an exciting closer. He's my closer. His ERA was 0.33. He throws 17.7 strikeouts per nine innings over 27 batters. And he throws a nasty changeup, 97-mile-per-hour fastball. Watch Devin Williams. He's an exciting closer. He's a young guy. And it's rare that a closer would be a Rookie of the Year. That's my choice for closer.
Good pick. Good pick. All right. So we got everybody under the belt except catcher. But first, one more random generator here. Rooster, tell us something about it's like it's on a T. Tell us something about the Philadelphia Phillies.
Oh, yeah.
Be careful.
Pass.
Wow. Pass. That says a lot right there.
What's your draft pick next year? What number do you
have?
You talking about the Eagles?
They traded it away.
Rooster, this is your opportunity to talk about Didi.
Yeah, I love Didi. I do love Didi, and I'm glad you re-signed him. He's outstanding. He's clutch. I wish the Yankees still had him, but Gleyber Torres is the future. Didi is a really solid shortstop and good person, and I hope he has a great year.
He was one of the few players last year that played with the mask on.
Yeah.
Well, you know, on the bases, while at bat, the whole thing. He's a great guy.
So let's stick with the Phillies for a second, though. I want to say, do you believe in Zach Wheeler as a two?
I do. Yeah, I think he's a two. I mean, he was solid last year, and I think he's going to surprise some people. I mean, I would put him at 14 to 16 wins for sure.
All right. I think he's a three. I think, and that's what ultimately why I think the Phillies, you know, look, the Phillies, like the Nats, are playing in a brutal, brutal division. It's going to be difficult for either team, I think, to make the playoffs. But the pitch, the starting pitching, I don't think for Philadelphia is as good as y'all think it is. So
just remember that Max Scherzer had a 3.74 ERA last year.
Oh yeah, last year was not good.
Last year didn't count.
Last year didn't count. Yeah.
Hey, by the way. If you look closely, a lot of these players, it's amazing the fall off last year. Like a lot of really good players had bad years last year.
Well, that's true. You know, these guys are, like we said, they're creatures of habit, and there was no consistency, no rhythm to the season.
Totally. Last year. Absolutely. So you can't, I don't look at a lot of that.
Yeah.
I think a lot of guys come back.
We got to go to catcher. And clearly, the field general, the most important part of any baseball team, the heart, the soul, the brains, the best athlete, often generally the best looking, also the most underappreciated. Rooster, who is the catcher that you're watching this year?
Well, I hate to say this. I know Yasmani Grandal is the sexy choice, but it's still JT. In my book, Real Muto, he's a much better hitter than Grandal. And he's a much better catcher than my man, Gary Sanchez, who I think is going to have a monster year at the plate. But Real Muto puts it all together. He led all catchers last full season in defensive runs saved at 11 and in double plays turned at 14. He's a gold glover. And a good batter. So, I mean, you know, it's hard to go wrong with him. He's at the top of his game.
He just made bank.
Hope, who do you have?
He earned it.
Same guy. All the Rooster stats, can't argue with them. Since Pudge Rodriguez is not available, I'm going to have to go with JT.
let's keep the JT love affair going. House?
So, Bison, I mean, you're a professional catcher. You would have been one,
but for those knees.
How important is the skill of framing a pitch? Because let me tell you something. You guys got to watch the way this guy frames a pitch. He turns more balls into strikes than anybody I've ever seen behind the plate.
Well, it's super important until they bring the robot umpires into the game. And then it becomes less important. But I do think along those lines, not just framing, but receiving the ball in general to a pitcher. I mean, look, pitchers are head cases, right? I mean, these guys are we've talked about their routine. And when they get comfortable with a catcher, if a catcher can receive the ball smoothly and makes them comfortable, confident, and willing to throw whatever, whenever, that's you can't put a value on that. There's no statistic that you're going to show me that when a pitcher has a rapport with his catcher that replaces, that's more important than that.
So, JT's a defensive stud, but he really is not just a good power hitter. He's a clutch hitter. He's consensus in any critic's book about the best catcher in baseball. And JT's my best catcher, too, for the SMQB9.
By the way, if anybody talks about clutch again, the entire Sabermetrics audience is going to stop listening to us, right? If we talk about clutch hitters, that's for a different podcast. But Milk, break it up here. We can't keep this Philly love going. Tell me you got somebody else.
When I was going through these, I did catcher last, and I was looking over all the players before I did catcher, and I didn't have one Philadelphia Philly, which made me happy and very excited. And then I got to catcher, and I kind of have to go with everyone else here. I think he's the best catcher in MLB, and it pains me to pick any player from the city of Philadelphia, but I got to do it.
Can we put Bison. Soto at catcher?
Yeah. Come on, Bison. Yeah. Bison, you wanted JT so bad in the offseason. Just put him there. Come on.
But you know what? You guys missed the most obvious one. Kurt Suzuki from the Nationals. No, just
no.
Did we have any consensus other than JT?
Here it comes.
Whoa, I didn't get there yet. I didn't get there.
Here comes.
Like I said about Trout, JT is catcher number one, has to be, but I've got to give a shout out to Salvador Perez, who is about to catch his 10th season for the Kansas City Royals. And you can't overlook that.
It's a shout out.
It's not a shout out. It's who do I want to watch? I you got to admire 10 years.
Wait, you want to watch Salvador Perez?
Over JT, yeah.
Oh my God, Tracy's a lucky woman. Okay.
You're going to have to get the $500 a month MLB package to watch Indians in Miami.
Milk, tell me something about the Cleveland Indians.
Oh, yeah, Major League. There you go.
Are they even the Indians anymore? Do we get to call them the Indians?
Call them that.
Not for much longer.
Yeah, I don't know.
They got a decent pitcher.
Yeah. I mean, he was in my top four in the rotation.
The Biebs.
Yeah. They've got that. They lost some guys though, didn't they?
Yeah.
Didn't they lose Lindor, their shortstop, right?
Yeah.
Mets.
They've got a good reliever too.
They've got Jose Ramirez. He's good.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think they're going to do anything special. I mean, I don't really have anything great to say about the Cleveland Indians.
All right.
What do you guys have?
I don't think there's anything.
Nothing.
Hey, Bison, were we picking a DH too?
Oh, were we?
Yeah.
Sure, let's do a DH.
But before we do that, it's amazing when you think about, because we have nothing good to say about the Indians, probably have nothing good to say about the Cubs. It's only been 5 years since that epic World Series. Both franchises have come down so far.
I agree.
Wasn't that the World Series that gave birth to the SMQBs?
It might have been.
Kind of was.
I think it was.
It's more about football, college football on Sunday review. But yes, we did a lot of texting during that series.
I think the AL Central and the NL Central might be the worst in MLB.
I wouldn't say that about the AL Central.
Not the AL Central. You got the White Sox and the Twins.
Yeah.
Both good teams.
All right. Real quick, we got to do the DH. House, who do you have?
Staying with the since you're watching a lot of Kansas City baseball now, watch Jorge Soler, 65 homers in 230 games. He's a masher. He's my DH.
They're going to be on MLB 8, similar to the Ocho.
Nope. Who do you have?
I'm going with I root for any MLB players still playing in their 40s. Nelson Cruz.
Good one.
I think
that's a legend.
Nelson Cruz.
Oh, don't get me started on Nelson Cruz.
He's 100 years old. He's still playing, and he's gonna have a hell of a year.
If he had just played doubles in the Cardinals game in 2011 World Series and just backed up 4 feet, he would have caught David Freese's fly ball, and the Rangers would have won the World Series. So I've got some issues with Nelly still.
Nelson Cruz could be the player who hits the most home runs by someone in their 40s this year.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
My second pick was JD Martinez. If you want a younger gent.
He comes back.
I think so, for sure. He had a bad year last year, but everybody did.
Pope, who's your DH?
Stanton.
Thank God someone came to their senses.
Interesting.
I think he's going to be full-time designated hitter from what I've read. So how can you argue with that?
Rooster?
Full-time designated hitter. For once in the offseason, he didn't train like a bodybuilder. He did yoga. Same with Judge. If those two guys are healthy for a full season, just look out. And Stanton is a better hitter than Judge. I think Stanton's going to have a season like he did with the Marlins when he hit 59 homers. Boom.
I'm going to throw out a name, just sticking with a couple things, different guys, Toronto and juniors. I'm going with Vlad Jr.
Yeah.
My DH.
Fun fact about Vlad. I think he lost like 40 pounds in the off season.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's interesting.
Yep.
Yeah.
Gosh. He's got much potential.
But isn't he a first baseman?
Well, they've got him sort of slotted first, third, DH. I think you'll see a lot of guys moving around to the DH position. So, But if I'm picking one for my team, that's who I want to watch. I'm falling in love with this Toronto team the more we do this.
Absolutely. Get on board, man.
If they had a second and third starting pitcher, they'd be an intimidating team.
I think Toronto challenges Tampa for the AL East.
All right, here's what we're going to do.
No one else, though.
We got through our positions. Here's what we're going to do.
I laugh at that.
Does anybody have an interesting storyline? And then we're going to do World Series predictions, and we'll do Cy Young and MVP. Okay, we're not going to go through the whole playoffs. But anybody have something that they want to throw out there to watch for this year?
I do.
I want you. Oh, I do too. But you go first.
No, you please. You go first.
Thanks, Rooster. In the history of the Major League Baseball draft, only two players have ever been taken number one overall and have never made the majors. Ryan Taylor in 1991 and Stephen Chilcott in 1966. One of the most decorated pitchers in college baseball ever is a guy named Mark Appel or Appel. He was drafted eighth overall by the Pirates in 2012. He returned to Stanford, had another stellar season, and was taken number one overall by the Astros, paid a $6.35 million signing bonus, and never got an ERA below 4.37 in the minors, and quit baseball in 2017. Just quit. He had a number of surgeries, and he decided to make a comeback. The Phillies retained his rights, and he's made it to the minors. And I just think that would be a cool story to watch this year. If this guy, after being drafted number one overall in 2013, finally sees his first Major League Baseball game as a pitcher in 2021, it would be a pretty cool story.
Yeah, that's that my is cool.
Story to follow.
That is cool. Great story.
That hurts me, though, for you to bring up Ryan Taylor.
I know.
The Yankees drafted, and then he hurt his shoulder in a bar fight and never pitched a day after that. My story involves one of my Ohio Wesleyan alums who played football with me, coach of the Vanderbilt, Tim Corbin. And he's got two pitchers on his staff who are going to be drafted in the top five, and they are the two best pitchers on the same team, I think, since what you mentioned earlier, Bison, Garrett Cole and Trevor Bauer were on UCLA. Pope, good news for you since the Rangers have the second pick, but these two guys, Kamar Rocker and Jack Leiter, are the real deal, and they're going to be aces, I think, unless we hear the same story that House just told.
No bar fights.
Vandy is an awesome college team. I think they've got like maybe four or five guys predicted to go real early in the maybe first or second rounds.
And, you know, like some decent teams have high picks, like the Red Sox. If they get one of those guys, that's bad news for the AL East.
Milk, you got a storyline you're following?
No, I just waiting to get into the World Series again. I'm assuming as a Tampa fan, we'll play for a championship.
So. I think Blake Snell might get back there. Oh, wait.
Oops.
Ooh. Oh,
no. You still have the same manager?
Madden?
Kevin Cash, baby.
Oh, yeah.
No, hey. I'm interested to see what happens with our pitching this year with losing Snell and Morton. And Tyler Glasnow, keep an eye on him. I'm just telling you.
Okay.
Pope?
I mean, I guess it's not a new story, but how is the season going to go with COVID? Are we going to have significant delay? Are some teams going to miss? How are we going to make up the games? Will we get 162 in? The purists love 162 because you can do stats and compare year to year. I think there's some people out there who would love to see a shortened season and a longer postseason potentially with more, you know, wild cards. So I don't know. This is going to be an interesting year. It'll be interesting to see how the fans react to all the teams. Are they coming back? Are they not coming back? What are the TV ratings like? It's a year. Major League Baseball is probably a little bit concerned about how this year is going to go, I would imagine.
Oh. Two storylines to follow that are both in our usual pod would be Ted Lasso's stories. Number one, Kim Ng, the first woman to be a general manager of a major league team in Florida, working alongside Derek Jeter as they try and rebuild a franchise that rebuilds and dumps and rebuilds and dumps and rebuilds and dumps. So that's a great storyline to watch. And then I have to give a shout out to right up the street, Trey Mancini in Baltimore, who last year was diagnosed with colon cancer and is back and is going to be playing this year. And that's another really, truly great story to keep an eye on. All right. Prediction time. House. Yeah. You got something you want to add one more?
I just want to say true or false. The Oakland A's are selling luxury suites for one Bitcoin.
True.
Got to be true.
It is true.
True.
True. I think you saw that.
We've entered a new era. You can buy luxury suites for Bitcoin.
Oh, I thought it was that Oakland had luxury suites.
Yeah. Sure. Those are nice.
Yeah. All right. We're going to do predictions. We talk so much about all the players. Let's do just a real quick, we don't have to dive into it, but your Cy Young, American League and National League. Who do you have? Rooster.
Straight New York, Garrett Cole and DeGrom.
Pope?
Same.
Oh, okay. Same. All right. Pope, what do you got?
So Cy Young, DeGrom, and Cole.
Yep. That's same for me.
House?
DeGrom and Lucas Giolito will be winning the AL Cy Young.
Yes, that is an excellent pick. That is an excellent pick. I am 100% with you. And I am also throwing in his former teammate. This is Steven Strasburg's year to win the Cy Young. His career has got everything in it, and it's going to happen. His stuff is too good. Wow. Strasburg in the National League. All right, House, back to you. Who's in the World Series and who wins it?
In the World Series this year, we are going to be staying in Southern California for some of the games, but it's going to be an interesting World Series. This year's World Series is going to pit the Chicago White Sox against the San Diego Padres.
Wow, I love it.
You are going to see the San Diego Padres hoist that trophy. That's your chance.
I love it. Milk.
Wow. Shout out to you, Henry.
Wow.
Milk. Am I predicting when Kevin Kiermaier will no longer be a Ray? Is that what I'm doing? World Series. I can't go against the Dodgers. I mean, that team is just absolutely stacked. I'm going LA, and it pains me to say this, but I think the Yankees, it's their year to go. Yeah. Rooster's dancing. I've got Dodgers, Yankees, and I've got LA winning it all. There's too much talent.
Let's go over to a dancing rooster.
I like everyone's picks. The White Sox are a damn good team. I've got Padres, Yankees. Yankees winning it.
Wow. Oh. So my childhood team.
Which one is that?
The virtual background you can see is the Braves.
Okay. The Brooklyn Dodgers.
Celebrating. Is that North Carolina, Nets. The Nets, celebrating or Alabama?
Phil Negro, Hank Aaron years. Celebrating 1995 World Series. The Braves are going to bring it back to Atlanta. It'll be the Braves beating the Yankees. The Braves get over the Dodgers. Game 7, they spit the bit, but this year they get over the hump. Braves-Yankees be a classic World Series, and I got the Braves coming back with a World Championship, and Acuna will be your World Series MVP.
Too much weird stuff happens after you win the World Series. It's too hard to repeat and go back, and Clayton Kershaw is 150 years old.
Last year didn't count.
His back is like 300.
Yeah, I'm going Padres and Yankees and Rooster. I think the drought is over. That team is just too loaded. Watch out for injuries, but that's your World Series winner.
Number 28. Cannot wait.
There's too much talk about San Diego. Got to go against them.
They're fun.
Their pitching is
loaded. They may not be ready.
I love them. I'm not ready to pencil them in yet.
I think the White Sox are as fun.
All right. Do we want to do an MVP and just wrap it? Let's do it. Milk, give us your MVPs.
I've got Trout and Soto.
Hope.
Trout, And Acuna.
Rooster.
Aaron Judge. And oh. Aaron yeah. Judge and Soto.
You can't pick two Yankees.
He's not a Yankee yet. Juan Soto.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, he will be.
House?
So I've got Mike Trout. Until someone knocks him off his throne, he's got it. And I'm not kidding you. It's happening. Bryce Harper is your NL MVP. It's happening. It's happening.
Yeah, it's not Homer. Happening. It's Trout and Soto.
Yeah, I like it.
Hard to argue.
So I want you guys to know that through everything today, the only thing we could reach entire consensus on is that Mike Trout is the AL MVP and Jacob DeGrom is one of the four starting pitchers. That is the only five-person consensus of our whole predictions for the season. It's going to be a great season. Can't wait.
And nobody was off the reservation on any of this stuff, right? I mean, everything was
Kansas City Royals picks. Catcher was kind of
we got close with the catcher. We got real close.
The Bison like in his heart knows that we were a consensus.
I feel just like we're getting closer, guys.
I can't wait to watch the Royals all year. It's going to be
opening
awesome.
Day. It's like 24 hours away. So less than.
Have fun.
All right. Everybody enjoy it.
All right,
guys. Go Nats.
Play ball.
Go Rays. Yeah.